Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, ton of reaction pouring in to what went down yesterday and who's to blame and were the Broncos unfairly made an example of. And plus, props to my man Stank for getting in the phrase that pays. You can't hold your mud.
Hey, you know, I do what I can.
You can't hold your mud.
How does that work, by the way? Do you actually have it, like, written down as, like, a reminder? Phrase that pays, phrase that pays, phrase that pays, underlying three times, or is it just, does it just come to you?
Yeah, I never even thought about it until the guy jumped off sides, and I was like, that's the perfect, I didn't write it down, I didn't have anything, I was just like, oh, I gotta get the phrase that pays in at some point. As a matter of fact, I never thought about it. When was that in the third quarter, or was it, I don't remember when it was. Second quarter, third quarter, I don't remember.
Oh, I have it written down, trust me.
But it was,
Hold on.
I don't.
You did it. Oh, okay. It was right when, it was right near the end of the first,
Okay. Yeah.
Traquan Smith had a false start penalty.
Yeah. Traquan Smith had a false start penalty. And I don't know why all of a sudden it popped into my head because I knew I hadn't said it. But no, I didn't write it down. I didn't do anything with it prep wise. I just figured at some point something would happen that would allow me to use it. And that was the first one, you know.
That was perfect.
Yeah. It worked out. I mean, and we say it all the time. Hold your mud.
Okay. Let's get to the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. As you can imagine, just a ton of reaction pouring in from, you guys and gals. So here we go. This one, following our conversation with James Merrillat. Did James just compare driving 100 miles an hour down a road to people wearing a mask in a quarterback meeting and then moving it down to eat food and for getting it back up to talk? Yeah, that... See, yeah. Did the Broncos... What the Broncos did, did they break protocol? Did they break the rules? Yes. Was it driving 100 miles an hour, or was it more like getting pulled over for going 60 and a 55.
Right.
See, to me, this felt more like, yes, yeah, I suppose they did not follow guidelines. They broke the rules. But boy, I used the word yesterday, very draconian. It just seems like it's a very over-the-top penalty to saddle on a team for that kind of infraction.
But I'm sorry.
Yes, ultimately the Broncos and these quarterbacks bear responsibility. But I have to point out the hypocrisy of this, because there's no way, I believe, this happens in the Tampa Bay quarterback room or the Kansas City quarterback room.
Well,
there's just no way.
Mike, I would tell you this, though. Show me the video. And I'll tell you whether it's 60 and a 55 or if it's, 79 and a 55. Like, show me the video. Were they socially distanced the whole time? They just pulled their mask down to eat? Let me see the video. Let me see what the NFL saw. Let me see what the Broncos turned over. And I'll tell you if it's draconian or if it was, justifiable.
What would make it justifiable in your mind?
Well, if they took their masks off, they were eating, and they got together, and they were standing over each other's shoulders and looking at plays and doing all that stuff, then yeah, then it's...
By all accounts, that was not the case.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you. I mean... That was, the NFL is not going to tell you. And the Broncos are going to give you, I believe that it wasn't, there was no malicious intent to deceive anybody. But again, it just came down the pike on Monday, I think it was, that these are the new protocols in place. And, again, it's one of those situations that I think you're being made an example of. I don't think there's any question, but it was, you've already been a one-time you've been penalized one time. So you've been a one-time offender. This is the second time, and they're making an example of you. And I understand that part.
Another texter says, if we had ownership, they wouldn't have done this. From Shane. That's another question. If Pat Bowlen is the owner,
I think it
says this happened.
Right. I think it's easier if Pat Bowlen's the owner to one, wield your power, and to two, to get extended some grace and maybe move that game so one of these quarterbacks could come off the table and play. So I definitely think there is merit to that.
Here's how I look at it. The Broncos were made an example of. They were held up as the patsy. They were held up as the sacrificial lamb by a league that is concerned about their ability to finish their season. And they're worried about spiking COVID numbers, and they want to make sure they get this season done. And if they can use a team that they view to be irrelevant, they'll do so. I think that's what happened here. Now, that's the NFL's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it now becomes the Broncos' problem. You've allowed yourself to become so irrelevant in the eyes of the NFL that they can use you as your sacrificial lamb. And that reflects on everything that we've been talking about here for the last several years. The way this organization is run,
mm-hmm.
the decisions that they've made, the mistakes that they've made,
yeah.
and the mess that they have now with their ownership. You have put yourself in a position by the way you've done business and performed to allow the NFL to use you like this. And that ultimately, we could talk all we want about the hypocrisy of the NFL. It all boils down to the fact that you put yourself in a position to be used like this.
Like that, I mean, it's fair. What I tell you, I had that conversation with the people who schedule games where they said this is the first time in since Pat Bowlen's ownership, first time that the Broncos can't rate in the afternoon slot. They could always count on the Broncos pulling a huge rating nationally. They could always, you know, you get percentages of the country, like percentage of the country get a game, right? And so, you know, you go from market to market to market. So, you know, I mean, people would say, hey, you know, you called Cleveland Philly 2 weeks ago. Well, that game was going to 46% of the nation. It's a huge market. You know, it's a big market share. This is the first time since Bowlen took over the ownership of the Broncos that they can't have a guaranteed afternoon rating in that time slot. So that's on their watch over there. That's what happened.
Vic Fangio did not hesitate to put the blame on his quarterbacks. He has an ally. Somebody from ESPN this morning came on and blasted the quarterbacks. You'll hear who and what he had to say next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and, you know, leaders of the offense, and those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing. Obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them.
Vic Fangio taking some responsibility there at the end,
sure.
but certainly pointing the finger at the Bronco quarterbacks for putting themselves and the team into a situation where they became, well, let's call it what it is, a league-wide embarrassment. It was a laughingstock yesterday. And it wasn't just Vic Fangio. It wasn't just Vic Fangio who was pointing the finger at the quarterbacks. Dan Orlovsky, a former quarterback of his own right, in the NFL for a long time, now with ESPN. We love visiting with Dan, love getting his assessment of things. Here's what he had to say on ESPN this morning.
Well, nothing's more expensive than a missed opportunity. And that's what this was for the backup quarterbacks and really the starter for the Denver Broncos. As a young player, as a young backup quarterback in the NFL, I used to pray to God for just a chance to get on the field. Because sometimes your opportunity is just luck, that it just happens that you get a chance to start in the NFL. And so many guys never get that chance, and they have a year or two career, and then they're gone. So guys like Brett Rypien and Blake Bortles, who's trying to get back into the NFL, and Drew Lock, for you guys not to do the simple thing of wearing your mask is a shame on you. You can't sit there and go, man, I wish I would have gotten my chance. You had your chance, and you blew it because you couldn't do something as simple as having self-discipline to follow the protocol that's handed down from the NFL. You can't go home and tell your buddies or tell your girlfriend or tell your wife, I never got my opportunity. Yeah, you did. You blew it because you couldn't wear a mask. And Drew Lock, this is the most concerning thing I've ever seen from you since you've come into the NFL. How can I trust you to be the CEO of the billion-dollar company that I run, and you can't wear a mask? I don't care if you don't want to. I don't care if you don't like it, and I don't care if you agree with it. You have to do what you have to do what you want to do. And this is a missed opportunity by all the quarterbacks for the Denver Broncos. You let down your team. You let down yourself. Shame. Shame on you.
Harsh or right on?
That wasn't very nice.
No, I think it's right on. I love it. Nothing's more expensive than a missed opportunity. You have to be ready, man. You have to be ready to answer the bell when you get your opportunity. And we've talked about this. This is still an audition. It's still an audition for Drew Lock. You're in the midst of your audition. Are you going to become a starter in this league, a full-time legitimate starter? Or are they going to go in a different direction? And you missed a game against the best, one of the, or the best defense you'll definitely see this year. One of the best defenses in football. You missed an opportunity to show out against that defense.
Oh, okay. But I think Orlovsky is being a little holier than thou on his soapbox there. Was Cam Newton, was he following all the proper rules? Was he showing all the discipline that was needed? And he ended up testing positive. He ended up putting the Patriots in a situation where he couldn't play.
Well, understand.
And
that
they had to turn to Brian Hoyer.
Understand, okay, that none of these guys tested positive.
Right.
They got bounced because they didn't follow protocol.
Right. Okay, so that's my point. Are you saying that Cam Newton, a former NFL MVP, somebody who's been in the league, was he doing everything right? Lamar Jackson, MVP. He caught it. Now, he's not going to be able to play.
I understand.
How much is he letting down his team?
I understand that, but those guys have
Ryan
already,
Tannehill?
Hey, those guys have already had their opportunity. They've already, Orlovsky is saying from a former, you know, backup quarterback, he's best known. And Dan is great on television, and Dan is, I mean, he knows the game inside and out. He's best known for stepping out of bounds when he had his opportunity. You know, I mean, there's a guy that's looking at it from the standpoint of you had an opportunity. And because you didn't follow protocol, you let your opportunity slip through your fingertips.
Okay, but for him to come out and say, this really gives me pause as to whether or not Drew Lock can be my quarterback. This is a guy who's got a handful of starts under his belt versus guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You want to talk about guys that should know better.
Right. I understand that part. Yes. That part is a little bit dramatic. That part's a bit dramatic. And I don't believe, you know, I don't believe that Drew Lock was, you know, like I said, being malicious and, you know, saying, hey, NFL, you know, stick it. I don't have to follow pro. I honestly, Drew Lock is, I mean, I was on the phone with him on Friday or whatever it was, Friday morning, you know, doing the pregame stuff. He's very conscientious. He understands kind of where he is. He's grateful for it. He's thankful for it. I don't look at that like, yeah, it was a mistake, but I don't look at it like it was a malicious intent. So I think that's a little bit harsh.
Oof, Orlovsky. Jeez, the only thing Missy, is you walking through the town square with a bell?
Shame.
Jeez.
Shame.
Man.
Shame.
Strip them naked and throw dirty vegetables at them as they're walking through the town square. My goodness.
But he is right about, like, Bortles. And now, that should have probably been something the team, you know, put into place. But, like, Bortles, you're trying to get back in.
Yeah.
You are, you know, the third or fourth overall pick or whatever you were. You're trying to get yourself back in.
Look, ultimately, this falls on the players. Okay? They are men.
Uh-huh.
They're grown men.
Yeah.
And, missed that, Benny. But there is also the idea that, you know, as an organization, you don't think every organization out there has people whose sole job every single day is to make sure that the players and monitoring the players to make sure that they're following the protocols? You think teams just leave it solely up to the players to do what they're supposed to do? There is overwatch and oversight all over those buildings.
Yeah.
Okay? So that points to an organizational fail. And also the notion of why are all four quarterbacks in the same room together? We talked about this in July when it became to our understanding that, wait a minute, you're telling me that an entire quarterback room could be knocked out the day before a game?
Mm-hmm.
You better keep a guy isolated. You know, keep your emergency quarterback separated from everybody else. We saw that in July.
Yeah.
Before we even started this whole journey. You're telling me this deep into the journey, you can't
see that
potential coming?
It's like James Merrillat said about, you know, about Blake Bortles. Like, how many times does a fourth quarterback on your roster even get a rep? They get no reps. Yeah, so that's one that's you know, organizational failure. That one is not, that one's not, it doesn't make sense. It's not right.
All right, four down territory. We go around the NFL. And hey, you know, sometimes it's okay to, you know, enjoy somebody else's misery. We give you the Las Vegas Raiders coming up next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
Yo soy fiesta.
Hurry, hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Benton will fire, and it's intercepted. Janoris Jenkins, back-to-back meets with a pick. Gordon trying to strip it away, but the Saints have the ball back. With still a couple of timeouts left.
Fox Sports, there with the call. Mark Schlereth doing an outstanding job on that broadcast. Not an easy game to call, that's for sure. I felt some empathy there for you, big fella.
Well, I appreciate that. It is what it is, you know? I mean, it's exciting for about 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
You know, there was very little to glean from that game yesterday. The only thing that, boy, Pat Shurmur, even in a situation in which you thought that there's no way you could really have any fault with anybody associated with the offense, I actually find fault with Pat Shurmur's game plan. You had every chance to be bold, innovative, throw caution to the wind, let's go all full schoolyard out there. And I thought his game plan was incredibly bland.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much stuff you can put in. I mean, you know, Hinton said he had about 20 plays in. I don't know how.
You can't run double reverses and.
Sure, you can, but it's just another.
Let receivers try to throw the ball downfield. Why not? It would have been better than that dreck I was forced to watch yesterday.
I would just tell you that I disagree with that part of it, but I would say, why are you having this kid throw? Like, why you come in your first play as a third down and three and you throw it? Like, that one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, Mike. So that part I'll give you, but I don't know about being even more, innovative in that situation.
Let's put a running back in a wildcat and snap the ball directly to him. Boy, what a game plan. Who could have seen that one coming? Next. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Mahomes, snap at his belt. Works the right boundary. Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. And continues Carlton Davis's nightmare day. And the wonderful game for Tyreek Hill. A 20-yard reception. Perfectly thrown football over the shoulder of the cheetah.
Oh, by the way, it's now Chiefs week. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Kind of forgot about that, right? That's the next
showtime.
That's the next game. Anyway, did I read this right? Tyreek Hill had 7 catches for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter?
Yes. Yeah.
What was Mr., you know, no risk it, no biscuit, Bruce Arians doing with his defense there?
He's doing what he does.
What do you mean doing what he does?
It's not Arians. Todd Bowles runs the defense. He's doing what he does. They play man. They play man, they blitz pressure. You know, in hindsight being 2020, you probably should go, okay, that's not really working. Not
just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Well, that's what they I will give them this, Mike. All right. And this is a direct shot of the Broncos. At least they have an identity.
Yeah, well.
They have an identity. I mean, we'll see a defense go death by inches. They may not give up 200 yards of passing in the first quarter to the Cheetah, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a 25-point blowout.
I'll say this about Vic Fangio Bronco defenses. They do tend to hold Mahomes and company below their averages. So they got to be doing something right.
Well, sure, yeah. But they have an identity, too. Defense.
Yes, the defense.
The offense is tough.
No identity there. All right, next in four down territory.
Third down.
Carr looking to throw again. Pressure coming. And it's intercepted. Deion Jones is going to the end zone. 11th career interception and his 5th touchdown.
Falcons Radio, Raider Nation, your team is a fraud.
Oh, God.
Your team is a fraud.
Oh, nuts.
You had a chance to show that you were made of something different. You lose a hard-fought game to the Chiefs. So what you do is you go on the road against a bad Atlanta team and you handle up on your business.
Right.
Take care of your business, win an ugly game, and move on and keep pushing for the playoffs. Instead, you embarrass yourself and get beat. What was the score? 43-6.
Yeah.
And the Oakland Raiders are no more.
That's all we need to know. Next question. All we need to know about the Raiders, we found out yesterday.
That's a disappointing thing. You know, I brought it up in the broadcast because Sean Payton always says, hey, the common team has those lapses. The common team lets somebody who shouldn't play with them beat them. The common team. We can't be a common team. We have to be an uncommon team. The Raiders, common. That's all. You're just common. You get up for the big games, but you don't get up for the Falcons?
Right.
That's common.
Right. If you are a truly ascending team that should be thinking about being a playoff team, you just take care. That was a take care of business. Doesn't need to look good. Doesn't need to look flashy. You're not interested in style points. Get the win and get the heck out of there.
Find a way to win a game and move on.
Yep.
You cannot get blown out by that team.
Yes.
Come on.
Come on. Allow me to revel in the misery of somebody else. At least for...
You know what? That's a great call.
For a little bit. Yes, I know. I am hurling giant rocks from my glass house. I get it, but I'm doing it. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Josh going to throw it behind him. DeBeasy going to throw it again to a man wide open. Gabriel Davis, touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Cole Beasley to Gabriel Davis. How about that?
Yes, how about that, Bills Radio, as the Buffalo Bills rely on their tried and true formula. They run the ball, they play very good defense and special teams, get just enough quarterbacking from Josh Allen, And they win.
We couldn't have started Cole Beasley a quarterback yesterday?
I would have loved to have had Cole Beasley a quarterback.
Going to make a quick trade for Cole Beasley, have him start? My goodness.
The Bills are 8-3. The Chargers, 3-8.
How about the Chargers?
Knock on wood.
Your guy, Anthony Lynn, is
oof.
Not long.
Well, see you later.
Not long. He's set to follow in the footsteps of Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien, and Dan Quinn.
Yeah, it's not going well.
No, see, can see the
way, knock on wood.
Can see the way that's heading. Okay, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, who was fantastic yesterday in breaking down why the Broncos did not have any quarterbacks and what happens next. He'll join us next. All right, set to get Troy Rank on, who did an outstanding job yesterday in reporting all this, and maybe can shed some more light on the Broncos story in relation to the Ravens story. As the breaking news is, the NFL canceled the Ravens practice scheduled for this morning. The Ravens last practiced the Saturday before the Titans game, and they're currently scheduled to play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. The Ravens travel plans are up in the air with snow forecasted in Pittsburgh coming up tomorrow morning. And so a game that has been moved twice could end up being moved again, perhaps to the end of the season, a week 18. Right, Mark? You think that game will continue to be moved? It won't be forfeited.
No.
It'll continue to be moved.
There could be movement on that game to that week 18 potential. Yes.
All right. So I'm sure every Bronco fan is asking, why does that game continue to get moved and the Broncos game wasn't? Troy Rank joins us now to make sense of all of it. Thank you, Troy. Good morning. So, what is the difference?
Yeah, I understand the frustration of Bronco fans after watching that travesty of a football game yesterday. The reality is this. The NFL has made it clear through memos and communication with teams they will not move games for competitive balance. So if you wipe out a position room and it was through, you know, contact tracing, that falls on the responsibility of the team. The NFL was saying when the Broncos played yesterday, our protocols work. You didn't follow them. Tough. That is essentially the message they gave the Broncos, and I think they did it to send a message not only to the Broncos, to the rest of the league, frankly, that they're in the business of playing football games. 256 in 17 weeks, possibly a dump into a week 18, but they're getting these football games played. The second thing, why is it different from the Ravens? The reason they would move a game, and they've laid this out, and people can be frustrated with this, but the reason they move games is if a team has an outbreak or if a team is struggling to contain the virus. So a lot of people on social media asked me, why did the Patriots game get moved when it looked like it was only for two players in the case of Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore? It was because they had cases like each day and they hadn't practiced. So the league deemed that as a team struggling to control the virus and a safety issue because they didn't want a team to play a game without practice. That's what I think is going to happen with this Ravens game, is the safety issue of not practicing and the COVID outbreak. That is viewed differently. Now, whether it should be is a completely understandable debate, but they do not see it the same when they're trying to relate it to competitive balance. They will not move games over that reason, and that's why the Broncos, despite their pleas to move the game, got stuck playing without a quarterback yesterday.
So you think that maybe they'll invoke the Week 18 kind of window and move this game? You think that's going to happen?
Well, I think it's definitely in play now, because of the fact they haven't practiced. And, you know, by definition, they continue to struggle to contain the outbreak. It's not stopping. I mean, when you just have a positive here, you had like 8 early in the week and then a positive, then another positive. That is literally the definition of struggling to contain the virus. So by their definition and previous memos, you know, this Ravens game would be a candidate to be moved. The other option is they play 15 games for some teams, do winning percentage for the playoffs, and add an 8th playoff team. You know, and they just try, they don't deal with a week 18. They tried adamantly not to deal with a dump into week 18. So
So the one-off, the second version of this, Mark, is I doubt they'd want to lose the Steelers-Ravens. That's a marquee matchup. But just some teams would play 15 games, and you'd add an eighth playoff team and go from there. You know, that, I think a lot of things are in play now with this Ravens game that the league hasn't had to consider for months, frankly.
There's no doubt that the Broncos were used as an example here as to what not to do for the rest of the league. Was there any sense that you got that the NFL was also punishing the Broncos for not having their ownership house in order?
I mean, it feels like that, and that's, you know, when you connect the dots, and I've said this, and it is just my opinion, it's hard for me to believe if Pat Bowlen was the Pat Bowlen figure I covered, that this would have happened to the Broncos because of his stature in the league. You know, whether that's my opinion, the league would say no, that this is by letter of the law. The Broncos violated mass protocol, the ever-changing mass protocol. So let's be clear here. You know, they violated it, and by letter of the law, they were without their quarterback room, and we're not changing it for competitive balance. If Pat Bowlen's in charge and he goes to him and says, listen, I understand the letter of the law, but we did everything possible during that New England week to get the league through a very difficult time. We lose our bye week after practicing. We move schedule. And then by letter of the law, you're basically forcing us to play a game where we have no chance. And I just, it feels like to me, again, this is just my opinion based on the gravitas Bowlen had in league circles, that they would have said, you know what, we'll move this to a Tuesday so you can play it and have a chance to play. That's just my opinion. But the Broncos, you know, they put themselves in position by being a team that has not been relevant since 2017, frankly. And they were an easy team, an easy mark to make an example of. And that's where we were, you know, and it's unfortunate because yesterday's game, but they don't care about, everyone says that this is a farce of a game. How can the NFL do this to the brand? If they cared about competitive balance, would the Jets still be playing a schedule right now? It's never mattered. There's terrible teams every year. It was just, we see it here because it's personal. We see the Broncos play, but you know, Cleveland for 15 years could tell you, you know, there was a competitive balance issue. The Lions, you know, a few years ago, the Jets. So competitive balance wasn't going to win the argument, but I think Pat Bowlen's gravitas for me would have won the argument.
Who's to blame? Is this on the quarterbacks? Is this an organizational structure issue? Like, how do we look at this as fans of the Broncos, and how do we say, you know, this happened? Who's to blame? Why did this happen, and how did they let this happen?
No, it starts with leadership, and Vic Fangio did take some of the blame yesterday and said he hasn't communicated the message clearly enough, the seriousness of it. And part of it is the guidelines have changed as we've all lived in society with this, as the pandemic has had this second, or however you determine, third surge. The goalposts have moved, you know, in terms of mask mandatory at the facility 100% of the time, different protocols. And the Broncos have stayed in intensive protocols since Curtis Motkins tested positive. So their leadership has done some good things with this. It hasn't like they've thrown their arms in the air and, you know, whatever happens, happens. Vic has been very prudent and cautious in the way he has followed this pandemic and the way he's, in every instance but one, canceled practice. But in this case, you do have to put it some on him as the coach of the team, some on, you know, Joe Ellis and John Elway as leaders of the organization, and certainly the quarterbacks. I think Drew Locke, I commend him for admitting it. Just say, I made a mistake, we move on. And I mean, there's no sense in continuing to argue it. They made a mistake. And I do think, while some people are crushing them, and I understand that, the quarterbacks, it is hard for me to crush people because it's hard to break habits that you've had your whole life of not wearing a mask and sitting around and watching film as a football player. I get it. They should have had them on 100% of the time, but that's just a hard habit to break in a rule that's kind of changed over the last 4 weeks. That's just the reality we see in society every day. You know, some people have masks on all the time. Some people, I walk into the grocery store and they don't have masks, or they're having a conversation in the front of the store, and you're just like, that's the society we live in. But it does come back, and it's a reflection of leadership and a bigger, you know, that we've felt like the Broncos have been rudderless, Mark, at times over the last 4 years. And now it's reflected in times that they play on the field. It's reflected in things at times that happen off the field. And it's not a good look. You know, even if we do feel like they got picked on by the NFL, it's still not a good look.
There was video, by the way. There was video of of that room and the guys in the room that the NFL looked at to help form their decision. Would the Broncos help themselves by releasing the video so that maybe we could all judge whether or not this was a fair move by the NFL, or if it was kind of ticky tack? Do you think the Broncos released the video?
Well, no, I do not. But because I think that at that point you then are in World War III with the NFL.
Yeah, that's
a war. That would be kind of like the Raiders. Like you just, if you do that, then you're said, I'm picking this fight with the NFL. I don't think the Broncos need that right now. They got enough issues going on just with the on-field product to be fighting with the league. I will defend the Broncos in this way, Mike. It's my understanding from sources yesterday, multiple sources, the Broncos turned over that video of the quarterback to the league, it's my understanding, on Thursday. So there was an expectation they would have an answer and a league review by Friday. So they could have had Hinton or whomever practice at quarterback Friday and Saturday. The fact that they learned it Saturday minutes before practice really put them in a tough spot. Now, again, I'm not saying they didn't violate the protocol, but the league did them no favors because the Broncos willingly turned this over. I mean, they could have been like, hey, I can't find the video. Somebody lost it. Oh, the file won't download. You know, they could have dragged their feet and maybe got through Sunday and then been fined heavily today by playing a player that had violated contact protocol or COVID protocol. But they turned it over, and there was an expectation they would have an answer on Friday, and they get it Saturday afternoon. That's where I do think the Broncos in that scope have a real beef with the NFL. Not only did you make an example of us, you gave us no chance to prepare by when you told us the decision.
Troy, thank you very much. Great reporting. Appreciate it.
You got it. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And we'll have question mark coming up in a little bit, and plenty of reaction to all of this. But it's becoming painfully clear that the Broncos were used as an example. And they were used as an example because of their irrelevance. And ultimately, that falls on the Broncos. The way you've conducted your business, the way you've performed, the uncertainty you have in your ownership, all of this stuff that has happened over the last 5 years puts you in a position where the NFL looks at you and says, they're expendable. They're irrelevant. They're the perfect patsy we can use to send a larger message to the rest of our league.
I told you I had this conversation. Former coordinator here in Denver, Dennis Allen, the coordinator, defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints. He said, ultimately, in this league, you get what you deserve. And it was an interesting conversation because, you know, we're just talking about football in general. And, you know, if you don't prepare or you're not ready or, you know, you take a team lightly like the Raiders did, or you let the disappointment dwell from the week before and you're not ready to play, you're going to get your ass kicked. It's the way it works. And they're professionals on the other side. Those guys get paid. And if you let things slack and, you know, you're not vigilant when it comes to your mask wearing and adhering by the rules, we can all be upset about being made an example of. I get that. But you know what I always say, Mike? The old saying in the NFL is availability is the best ability. Baloney. Responsibility is the best ability. And that goes for life. You've got to take responsibility for what you do and the consequences. You know, we have such a victim-led society. Oh, it wasn't my fault. This happened. These circumstances. You are where you are in life because of the decisions that you've made. Own them. The Broncos are where they are because of the decisions they've made, because of the decisions the coaches have made, the front office has made, the players have made. That's where they are. So take ownership of it. You know, we heard John Elway talk about this in the offseason. Well, we bounced off the bottom. Have you? Because I think yesterday might have actually been the bottom.
Ugh,
I don't know how much lower you can go. I mean, yesterday you were lower than well poop. And well poop is way low. Think about it.
Yeah. It is the lowest because the NFL sent a very clear message about how they view you and how they view your ownership and how they view the way you've performed the last several years.
Hmm.
You were deemed expendable. And for the texter who says the Broncos were not used, you guys were looking through your narrow field of orange vision and not looking at the picture clearly. Okay, to that texter, I ask you a very simple question. Very simple question. Same exact scenario. Same exact. Everything is identical and occurs in the Kansas City quarterback room or the Tampa Bay quarterback room. Do you believe Kansas City and Tampa are asked or told you have to go out and play your next game
with some wide receiver from the practice squad?
You have no quarterbacks. Do you honestly, come on, people, come on. Do you honestly believe the NFL would do that to those two teams? If you do, sorry, I call BS. I call it loud.
Right.
No way.
It's not a positive test. It's contact tracing. Your whole quarterback room, Patrick Mahomes and everybody else in that quarterback room gets benched. Marquee team.
No way.
Super Bowl champs. Nope. Playing another marquee team in Tampa Bay with the GOAT.
Nope. No way. No way.
They're playing Tuesday.
Yep.
They're playing Tuesday.
They just are.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.